You're listening to the Gospel Project for Preschooling Kids Weekly Leader Training, helping you teach your kids the big story of the Bible.
Welcome back to the Weekly Leader Training for the Gospel Project for Preschool and Kids. This week, Karen and I will cover Unit 29, Session 4, Doers of the Word. So this one, I'm not going to set you up at all. This could be one where somebody listening, if they've not looked at it yet, they could scratch their head and say, what are we talking about? Now, this could be a quiz that, you know, is that enough of a clue to figure out where we are?
Yes.
So where
okay.
are we?
Okay, everybody, so prepare your answers and let's see if you're ready. James, we're in the book of James. So, you know, James talks about being doers of the word and not hearers only. So that's where we're going this week. And we know James was the half-brother of Jesus. And so he is going to become prominent in Acts it, for a brief window coming up. You know, when we get to the Jerusalem Council, you're going to see that in the next few weeks. I think it's not the next unit, but the following one. But we're going to look at his epistle because it helps give us a picture, a full picture of the gospel, that real faith is an active faith. And we'll see that, you know, though we're not saved by works at all, but that faith and works, you know, they go together. They are not incompatible, as some would argue. So I think Brian's going to talk us through that a little bit.
Yeah, this is one. We'll just kind of lapse right into the caution.
Yeah.
We usually, I lead us there. I'm talking about cautions, and then I say, all right, let's officially talk about them now. So let's just officially start talking about them for a change. Cautions and extra prep time. And that's the first one. It's really important that we understand the relationship and the friendship between Paul in Romans and James in James. And when I mean friendship, I mean these two epistles have been accused. Some people have accused them of being in opposition to one another, that James teaches a works-based religion or faith, and Paul teaches a faith-based, a grace-based. They are not in opposition. Scripture does not contradict. They are looking at the same thing, which is different perspectives. I think it's helpful to look at Paul looking at salvation leading into salvation. He's looking forward into it. James is looking out from it. I think if you keep that in mind, it really helps you understand how these two do not disagree, they agree. James would never say that works earn salvation, and he's careful, and we need to be careful on how we use our words this week. Paul would never say, yeah, you don't have to do anything once you're saved. Both would agree on this. People sometimes, again, wrongly, think that they disagree because they're not realizing they're not trying to give a full treatment of this conversation. Paul is focusing on leading into salvation, what needs to be true for somebody to be saved. James is concerned about the person who's already saved. He's not worried about that part of it. He's worried about, what does it really look like? Can you really be saved? Are you really saved if your life is not reflecting it? That's what James is going to be pushing back on. This is also, interestingly, really important when it comes to the book of 1 John, where John, in that epistle, is writing to the church and helping them understand the false teaching to the Gnostics, who said, hey, you know, Jesus was not really human. He did not really take on the flesh because the flesh is evil. So he just appeared to be human. And therefore, because the flesh doesn't matter, it's just spiritual. As long as you're saved, as long as you have the spiritual knowledge, you can live however you want. Do whatever you want because the body doesn't matter. That's what the Gnostics were teaching to the church. And John writes, that's why if you read John, he says no over and over again. I'm writing these things so you know. He begins by saying, I'm telling you what I saw, what I heard, Jesus whom I touched. He's real. So John, his point in that book is going to be, no, this is what he talks about. You can't say you have no sin and be in Christ. He's saying you can't live any way you want. That's not how this works. We are to live in a way that's holy. We are to live in a way whereby we are reflecting the goodness of God and living according to how he designed us to be, according to his laws and his principles, not because we want to be saved through them, but because we have been saved through Christ alone, and we want to live this way as a reflection to the goodness of God. Totally different. So this is a theme that comes up over and over in Scripture. James just hits this so clearly and so well. I just love the book of James. It has been said it's the New Testament version of Proverbs because it's so practical. This book, we just have to understand, we just came out of teaching the gospel from Paul in Romans. Now we're teaching the gospel through James. In James, again, the different approach. We have to know that. Be ready for your kids maybe to ask about that. If they're kind of perceptive, they might pick up on this. But again, as you're teaching, we always need to be precise with our words. I find, Karen, that sometimes we can use our words a little bit. We can be sloppy with them. I'm guilty of it. Everybody's guilty of it. We don't mean to be. It's just hard to be theologically precise at times. And there are some times where theology, right theology, requires very fine precision. Think about when you speak of the Trinity. This is one where it's easy to get tripped up. What words do you use describing a triune God who's three in one? And he, you know, God is one God, but three persons, and you can't dismiss either of those. And so sometimes our words are clumsy, and we seem to take away the threeness of God. Sometimes our words are clumsy, and we take away the unity of God and make it seem like there are three distinct gods, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. So again, we don't mean to. It's so hard for us to be precise with our words. This is a session where, again, this is really going to be true, and you really need to be careful about the words you're using. Try to slow down. Try to think through these. I would not encourage you to wing this session. I would encourage you to really be careful. If you do make edits from what we provide you in the leader guides, think through them, pray through them, be careful. And so again, here's what we want to make clear to our kids, that faith alone is necessary for salvation. Crystal clear. Make sure that is clear, that your kids know what is required for salvation. Faith alone, period, hard stop. But we also want them to know that works will flow from salvation. Works must flow from salvation. So works affirm true saving faith. That's the message of James. Now again, one more word and I'll be quiet and let you kind of talk about some more practical things in preschool and so forth, Karen. But one more thing is, we want kids to be clear that it's not binary in the sense of once they're saved, they will do all these works in abundance. It's a gradual process. Sanctification is a slow, gradual process. And so some of your kids may be thinking, I'm not really showing a lot of the works. Am I really saved? Take them back to, have you trusted in Christ? That's what we rest on. And are you seeing any growth or development in this area? That's what you want to camp on. The fact that they would be concerned that they're not showing works, to me, is evidence of their salvation, because it's evidence of conviction. So what we don't want to do is confuse. This session should be encouraging to your kids, not discouraging. So keep that in mind as well. What can we do to encourage them that the gospel is so good, it's so beautiful, God is so good, he's so beautiful, that we should want to live differently because of our salvation? Joy should guide that, direct that. Confidence in Christ should guide that, direct it. We don't want our kids leaving second-guessing whether they're truly saved or not based on this session. So again, a lot there to be considered. This one may have seemed, you saw this and say, finally, this is an easy one. This is a layup.
Nope.
No, be careful with it. There's some things. It can be. It should be a great session. I've been looking forward to the session. It should be a great session. But again, just go in with these extra levels of caution and preparedness, and I think you will do well.
Yes, definitely. And the Lord will help you for sure. Okay, so just let's talk about a mobile after that.
There you go.
So, yeah, in preschool, we are making a shape mobile that says to do God's word. But you are going to need some plastic hangers for that, one per child. So that is somewhat of an out of the ordinary supply. So I wanted to mention that. And I was going to say, too, word on wire hangers. There's lots of jokes about wire hangers. But anyway, if you probably could use wire hangers for this, but I just want to give a word of caution about that if you do, be sure to cover those sharp edges, you know, like at the end of the hook and then around the neck of it, you know, with duct tape just to be safe. And also avoid those wire hangers that have that cardboard piece in the middle, because that can easily come loose and, you know, then there's more sharp edges. So all that to say, the plastic hanger is the much safer option, but there are ways to use up your wire hangers that you may not want hanging up in your closet. So yeah. Okay, so, and also in preschool, we're playing a helping game. And this is a game where preschoolers pull an item from a pillowcase and they say how it can be used to help. And we give you a list of items, but I just want to say, don't feel tied to that list. Look around your house, look around your church, and just use what you have, you know, and you might get some fun answers from kids that maybe you weren't expecting. So, I mean, there's a plethora of items that can be used to help. So, you know, don't be limited by that list. Another thing, kind of a little bit out of the ordinary supply too, is we have activity on building with blocks on a mirror. And, you know, when we included this activity, I was a little bit hesitant because it does call for a large flat mirror, and that's probably not something you typically keep in your church resource room. Though when my church did this activity a while back, we actually, they had some. So anyway, but I did think it's such a fun way to connect with the part of the Bible story where James talks about looking in a mirror, because kids are literally going to be looking at themselves in the mirror, you know, their whole time they're building. So I felt like it was worth including. So we definitely said, you know, you can use substitute with foil, that we mentioned that as an option. So feel free to do that. But I did look up prices at a local store that probably most of you will have access to, a store where you might be able to, air quotes, save money, live better. but I found a simple plastic floor mirror for under $7. So, you know, depending on the size of your ministry, you might agree with me that it's worth the investment. But definitely you want to secure it with duct tape to the table as mentioned in the activity description. So, all right, moving on to babies and toddlers. They're reading books about obedience. So again, as we talk about books quite a bit, that you probably have quite a few of these in your book collection, but if not, your local library is a resource. Be sure to read the books ahead of time for age appropriateness and a biblical worldview. Another fun activity the toddlers are doing is eating a snack together, and they're serving each other a snack. And so for that reason, it's very important that this snack is individually wrapped as specified in the activity, because we definitely want to avoid germs. And, you know, as we're recording this, we're still living in COVID. Who knows if we will be when this, when you guys get to this in suggested use states, but, you know, anything to minimize germs, we want to do that. And also just quick note, this is a session you're going to want to pull out your rhythm instruments and toy doctor kits. So lots of fun stuff happening this week.
Sounds good. So we're going to kind of drive to the conclusion here of what we're excited about God potentially doing in and through this session. For me, again, it's kind of what I intimated before. I'm excited about this coupling with last week's. So the kids who are able to attend both, and kids who are not able to, let me say that real quick. If they missed last week, we're not shortchanging them, of course. This is going to be a great session for them. But those who are able to attend both, man, to give that great full understanding of the gospel of faith is really helpful. We know easy believism and cultural Christianity are just far too common. Karen and I, we live in different areas of the Nashville greater metropolitan area, so we are in the what has often been called the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. You know, there are churches all over the place, and this is clearly a cultural Christianity. People think they're Christian because of where they've grown up, or because they've gone to church once or twice in their lives, or because they don't associate with some other religion, and so therefore they have to be Christians. And we know that's not the gospel. There are so many people who think they're saved, and they're not. Or easy believism, that, you know, you see this a lot on televangelists preaching this one, that, you know, you can just believe in Jesus and you'll have this great life. And, you know, we sadly, tragically, the true gospel is not proclaimed even from many churches as it should. So I'm excited anytime we have the opportunity to stand on what the gospel truly is in fullness and embed that in the minds and hearts of our kids. And again, we get to this not as deeply in this session, because it would be other places, but this idea is recurring, and it's a good opportunity to remind our kids of this. And I'm convinced, Karen, this is what I'm studying in my PhD work. My dissertation is going to be in this area of identity in Christ and family discipleship. And I think this identity in Christ concept is what a lot of us are missing. It is so critical, and we move away from it. We understand, you know, who Jesus is, his identity, We understand what Jesus did because of who he is, and we kind of understand who we are in Christ, but then we move on to what we need to do to live. So this session, for example, what James is assuming is you understand the change that has been made in you because of Jesus, this fundamental change in identity. You're a new creature, a new creation, as Paul writes in Corinthians. The old is gone, new has come. You are in Christ. Paul uses that expression all the time in his epistles. It's so important our kids understand that this fundamental change, everybody's either in Adam or in Christ. There's two types of people, in Adam or in Christ. In Adam, you're still under the curse. You need salvation. You need to trust in Christ. In Christ, you are fully forgiven, fully righteous. This change in identity is what drives behavior. When we're in Christ and we continue to sin, which we will, of course, but as sanctification happens, it should be less. We should learn to hate sin. But really, when we sin, we're living as frauds. We're living our old selves, which have been put to death. So sanctification is living our true identity. This is what it's all about. Why should we do what James is saying? Why should we care about the hungry? Why should we care about the poor? Why should we do these things? It's because our identity compels us. It's who we are. We're a gospel people. We're a people saturated with love. We are now able to live out our true image-bearing nature, that the image of God, I would argue, is mostly about love. It's about loving God and loving others, because Christ is the fullest example of the image of God. And what was the mark of Christ's ministry? Love. So to me, this is another opportunity for us to really get on the radar, this change in identity, this change in nature of our kids when they've trusted in Christ, which is the reason. It then becomes, of course I live differently, because I'm a different person. This, I think, can be so helpful for our kids. All right, I'm done preaching.
Yes, good sermon.
Pass the offering plate.
Yeah, real quick. For me, I love the line from the Leader Bible Story that says, we aren't accepted by God because of our obedience. We obey God out of gratitude because we are accepted by him through Jesus. And just for me personally, I am one who struggles with legalism and, you know, being hard on myself, thinking I have to earn God's love is kind of my default. And so, you know, I can read James very wrongly. And so that's why I appreciate, you know, you talking about how we need to be super careful and how we do that. And it made me think about this helpful chart that was circulating years ago that I've just gone back to through the years. And it compares what religion says to what the gospel says. And so religion says, I obey, therefore I'm accepted. The gospel says, I'm accepted, therefore I obey. And in religion, our motivation is based on fear and insecurity, but in the gospel, it's based on grateful joy. And then that religion says, I obey God in order to get things from God, but the gospel says, I obey God to get to God, to delight in him and resemble him. And so, you know, I just wish that, I'm just excited that our kids are going to get James from a gospel perspective. And I just want them to hear, you know, this message of gospel transformation that James presents, and to hear it in that right treatment. So, yeah.
Sounds good. We hope that you have a great time teaching this session. And again, we trust that you will, as you are guided by the Spirit, and he protects the language you use and the joy that you bring to bear as you talk about this really important detail of the gospel, of it changes us and shapes how we live. So, I want to thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope that you have found it helpful as you prepare to teach the Gospel Project for kids and preschool. And for more helpful resources, visit gospelproject.com.